Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Tim, give me the 2 Thessalonians scripture. The Thessalonians, before I'm going to give you a little backstory, the church of Thessalonica was fulfilling the Great Commission. It was a church that Paul was boasting about, and Paul was pleased with, and God was pleased with. So this is what, because they were advancing the kingdom. So this is what we want. We want to fulfill God's call on our life, and that's why this idea of advancing God's kingdom is in our vision. So if we're going to advance the kingdom, it's going to take all of us diligently seeking Him and having a vision to fulfill this calling. Now watch this. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith, your what? Your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. You see, when you're growing in the faith, the love of God is growing in you. Galatians 5:6 says, faith works through love. The only way your faith can work is through the love of God. You see that? Through that relationship with you and God. When that's connecting and you're dependent on Him, now your faith is going to begin to work because you're dependent on Him. He wants you dependent on Him. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. In all your now look at that. Remember, when our faith is tested, we're gonna be persecuted for it, right? There's gonna be persecutions. There's gonna be trouble. Remember the word tribulation? Is the word trouble. The word trouble. The word, if you do the etymology on this word tribulation, it comes from a farming instrument. It's called a tribulum. A tribulum. And a tribulum is a farming instrument that would separate the wheat from the tares. So that God has this big tribulum coming across the universe. He's separating the wheat from the tares. The wheat are the fruit. That's what gets used. The tares is what gets burned up. Are you catching this? That's what's going on. Trouble reveals things in you that don't belong there. But you see, when you don't understand that, you'll get mad and blame other people and always blame somebody else for your trouble. When really you got to take responsibilities for your troubles. You can't stop things from happening to you, but you can respond in a godly way to the things that happen to you. And that's what God wants. He wants you to take up responsibility. It's your responsibility to respond to what happens to you. And that's what God is looking at. He's looking at how you are responding and what's going on. He wants to see how you're responding. Now watch this. Tribulations that you endure. So God's looking for you and I to endure. We're going to have to endure some things. And that's what these trials are for, that we're going through. And we're all going through trials. We're going to have to endure some things. God is building endurance in us. In Matthew 24:12, it says that lawlessness is abounding because the love of God is growing cold. You see, people, the love of God grows cold when you start to walk away from the faith. Did you hear what I said? Faith works through love, right? So when the love is abounding, your faith is abounding. He says in Matthew 24:12, Because the love of God is growing cold, lawlessness is abounding. Listen to me. Lawlessness means willful disobedience to the authority of God. To the authority of God. Here's a lot of time that where we have trials is people don't want to submit to anything. Submission, we're supposed to submit. I'm supposed to submit to Donita. Donita is supposed to submit to me. Did you hear what I said? I got somebody I have to submit in this ministry. I got a bishop. I have to submit to him. We have to submit to our bosses at work. You have to submit. Submission is from God. Submission is never accomplished when you want to. Did you hear me? That's why it's so difficult. That's why we get frustrated and discouraged. We want our way when we want it and how we want it. We want it. But you see, that's not what God is saying. The kingdom of God, there has to be submission for that to go forth in advance. So children are supposed to be submissive to their parents, right? And you're supposed to be submissive to your teachers, submissive to the police. That's why we have a police and fire dinner. We want to remove any negative thing or any, you know, view of the police in Sydney, so people will be more easily submissive to their authority. When we're willing to submit to authority, guess who gets blessed? You do. You do. You see, this is what's wrong in marriages. Marriages go through times of testing and trials because of relational what? Familiarity. Relational familiarity. Paying attention? You start taking for granted who God put in your life. And you're no longer honoring them and treating them the way God called you to. God wants you to submit to them and honor them. Honor your spouse. Honor each other. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? That's why I opened the door for Donita. I don't feel like doing it all the time, but I'm going to do it. I don't care if it's pouring down rain. I'm going to run around and open that door, because I know what it does. It fosters a presence at my house, at my home, because that's connected to our relationship. Our relationship is connected to God. And when I'm honoring her, it has an effect on her life. You see, she needs to know that she's important. She don't tell me that, but they need to know that. You need to know that you're important. And when nobody honors you, you don't feel important. You don't feel like that they're treating you the way that you were designed. But when you honor them, now you're treating them out of God's design. Did you hear what I said? That's why in Mark chapter 4, chapter 6, Jesus was there and he could only do a few miracles because they could not honor him. They said, "This is the carpenter's boy. I seen him make Uncle Joe's kitchen table. He ain't nobody." I'm just paraphrasing, but they treated him as common. They couldn't honor him. You see that? And submission honors others. Come on now. When you honor that person that God has put by you, that's why if you are a young man and you're dating somebody, the best thing you can do is honor that young man and honor that young lady. You honor her by keeping your mitts off of her body until you get married and have a license. Did you hear what I said? I know we don't want to hear that, but you know what? This is one of the biggest problems in our world, because men don't understand. They don't understand it. And I'm not being funny. When you really honor that person, see, here's what happens. You get the best out of them. You really get the best out of them. And they get the best out of you. And you're the one that gets to benefit. If you're going to have a fit, make it a benefit. Did you hear me? If you're going to have a fit, make it a benefit. Now think about this. So when you honor them, you get the best. But if you don't, you're going to get some complaint. You're going to start getting some mess up in there. Did you hear me? Here, this principle works. In 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, it says, there was no widespread revelation. The word of the Lord was rare, and there was no widespread revelation. Rare means, the word rare doesn't mean spotted or not much. It means extremely valuable. Extremely valuable. When you don't honor your husband and wife or your children or the people that are above you, you're treating them as common. You see, are you, and you're not going to get the revelation that God has for you. That's why people come home and complain about their boss all the time, because they're trying to fight. They don't want to honor that boss. They want to treat them the way they want to. You see, that's why people don't want to be under anything, because they want to do what they want to do. And they don't really get the revelation that God has for them. Oh, did you get that? Now look, see, that's why they couldn't get the revelation. And God will give you a revelation about who you are when you treat that person as rare. I was thinking about Donita. There's not any more Donitas in this world. I am so blessed. And God is showing me that. Am I making sense? The way she treats her mom when she's going through, she's going to take care of me. Are you with me? She'll take care of me the same way. When you understand this, you're going to treat them different. And they need to know that. When they come home, you ought to celebrate. There ought to be a celebration. I'm glad to see you. You ought to just make it a celebration. Honor. Everybody say honor. That's the kingdom. When we honor people, that's the way that works. But when we don't, see, then we don't get the revelation and we don't get the best out of each other. You see, when you don't honor them, you don't get the best. You get the worst. And now you're blaming them when it's really you, because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. This is significant. What's manifested? The evidence of what they were going through in the Thessalonian church. And Paul was bragging about them. Now watch. Which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted what? Worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. You see, God wants you to be counted worthy. You see, when he sees you submitting, and he puts his blessing on you. And that's why you benefit. And he counts you as worthy. He wants you to be worthy of the kingdom of God. Now get a hold of, what's this word worthy mean? Here's what the word worthy means. It's the Greek word axios. It means fitting. Fitting. So you know what? When you honor people and you honor those above you and you honor authority and you honor your children and your husband and your wife and wife, husband, listen, it's fitting. Now it fits in heaven. You're bringing heaven to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what takes place. You're bringing heaven to earth when you will submit to one another and honor each other. You see, it never becomes too familiar. When it becomes too familiar, it's no longer rare and valuable. And you won't get the revelation that God has for you. God has a revelation for every one of us. We stop it because we want to do what we want, and we're going to do it our way. Back to the word, worthy, fitting, balanced, listen to me, things that match appropriately. So now what you're doing, it matches in heaven. Did you hear me? It's appropriate. So God's up there smiling. When a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies are at peace with him. You see that? Honor each other. Don't take each other for granted. This is the only way God can do great things in you, if you release it. So you release it by honoring them. That's why we need to be in church. This is where we grow and mature, by getting the word of God. So you don't hear this at Walmart. You don't hear this down. You don't hear some of this in any church, in a lot of churches. If you're in a church that the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against, you're going to hear this. Are you listening to me? That's the kind of church I want to be in. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff going on in this world. I watched the news a couple times while I was off, and man, God's showing me, man, we got to step it up. Let's look at this. Evidence of the righteous judgment of God that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. And that word counted, remember, it also means valued. So God wants to value you as worthy of the kingdom. Now watch. For which you also suffer. So the suffering has a purpose. And the suffering is you're just giving up something you don't need to get something better that's going to help you and help you be have more influence on your children. That's why love, remember, the love of God is developed through, remember, we glory in tribulations. Ryan taught on this last week. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God is being spread abroad in our hearts. The love of God. It doesn't disappoint. Hope doesn't disappoint. It appoints. See, when you have the hope of God in you, it appoints you and anoints you. It appoints you and anoints you for your appointment, for your assignment. If you don't have an anointing for your assignment, you're going to be miserable and broke, busted, and disgusted. And you're not going to want to do it anymore. It'll wear you out trying to do the assignment God has for you. But when you go through the process and you have that hope and the love of God, the power of God starts to flow through you and you begin to be a vessel of honor for God's work and his will. This is God's word being taught here. Now watch this. Counted worthy of the kingdom for which you also suffer. Now give me this next one. Since it is righteous thing which God with God to repay with tribulations those who trouble you. Now think about that. You don't have to get people back. God will take care of them. God will take care of them. Well, so-and-so did me wrong. Forgive them and keep moving forward. Sometimes your best friend will betray you. You can't even experience betrayal from somebody you don't trust and somebody you don't value. Usually it's somebody you value and trust that betrays you. Or it's not betrayal. Did you hear me? Loyalty can only be demonstrated when it's given the opportunity not to be. If you have a loyal friend, they're going to remain loyal. The only time they're not loyal, one time says they're not loyal. And then that could be the time they betray you. Now, go with me to 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept, protected. See that? Kept, protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in these last times. Now, give me the next one. In this you greatly rejoice. He says we ought to be rejoicing when we're going through things. Did you hear me? It says in Thessalonians, rejoice always. Rejoice always. In everything, give thanks. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. It's God's will that we rejoice always. We don't rejoice because we've got problems and we're going through problems. We rejoice because we're connected to the one who has the answer. And he's going to reveal things to us. On the days ahead, God gives you a promise, and he sees your future. He gives you a promise. Now you hold on to that promise, and he's going to help you get to there. He's going to empower you to get to there where you need to get to. Am I making sense? That's the way that works. That's why Paul was in a trial in prison. In Philippians chapter 2, he was in chapter 4. He said, rejoice always. Paul's in prison for just preaching the gospel. He's got guards chained around his feet. He's saying, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And let your gentleness be made known to all men that the Lord is at hand. The word gentleness means the ability in you to be undisturbed regardless of your uncomfortable surroundings. No matter what your situation in, when God is your God, you can rejoice in the middle of it. Am I making sense? And it'll actually release something on you, an anointing and favor on you that removes yokes and burdens. That's what the anointing's for, to lift burdens and to lift yokes on you. In Isaiah 10, and we all need that anointing. Amen? When you're anointed, you're going to be appointed. And every one of us are anointed, but we have to be appointed. And it takes that development to get to reach that appointment. Amen? All right. Though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by what? Various trials. Remember the word grieved? It means sorrow. Literally means sorrow. It means sorrow and distress. It's the Greek word lupeo. It means sorrow and distress. You know, in Philippians 4, he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. When we grieve the Holy Spirit and we get in strife and argue and want to do what we want to do, it grieves the Holy Spirit. That can cause you to feel depressed. When you feel depressed, a lot of times you just need to take a look at your life and think, man, God's trying to ask you to do something and you don't want to do it. You see, even part of, you know what? I told you I was doing some cleaning out some stuff. I was procrastinating. You see, the Holy Spirit tells me to do, he tells me to witness, I'll go do it. But to get in that closet and get in the corners and get, I got to work on that one, Michael. Are you with me? Been grieved by, now give me the next verse. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. Everybody say fire.
Fire.
You're going to be tested by fire. Fire removes impurities. Fire removes insecurities. Fire removes toxic thinking. That's what fire removes. It gets rid of those things that are keeping you from the will of God. It's removing them. Now watch. That it may be found to praise, honor. Honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God wants us to be honoring each other. Now think about this. That the genuineness of your faith. This word genuineness is dokimion. D-O-K-I-M-I-O-N. He wants you to raise your kids in dokimion. Genuineness. Think about this. This is what it means. It means something that has been tested and proven authentic. Something that has been tested and proven authentic. God wants your faith to be authentic. You see that? That's why it constantly has to be tested. Constantly has to be tested. I've got so much. I'm just going to continue next week, but I've got a couple of stories I want to tell you, and then we're going to blow. Think about this. Fire is something God uses, right? Gold is, when gold is being purified, they heat it up, and gold, they get the alloys out, the copper, the zinc, and all the iron, the ores that don't belong there, and eventually it becomes pure gold. And when it's in its pure state, it actually becomes transparent. You can literally see through the gold. So that's when we're in a pure state, in a healthy place, God, people can see through you and they see Jesus in you. They see something different about you. Yesterday I had to take this couple from India that we support, Maranatha Ministries over in India, Visuwada, India, that you can see pictures on the wall when the missions is up there. We actually built a church over there and everything. And Mike Toll took me over there. The first time he took me over there, introduced me to this ministry. Prasad was talking about it yesterday with me while we were driving. We had, after he came and went to this leadership thing with me yesterday, then we had to drive up beyond Sydney and meet the ride that he's getting to get to Detroit, because he and his wife was on his way to Detroit. But we were talking about the first time I ever went to India. And the first time I went to India, they had me speak. 300 and some women at this church they had on a Friday night. They had me speak, and I didn't know what to expect. So I'm preaching. And then at the end, but here's what I preached on. This is what I preached on. 1 Timothy 1:5. The purpose of the commandment is to love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Sincere faith. So now think about this. I explained in that message that sincere means this. This word, if you do the etymology, I'm a word nerd. If you do the etymology on the word sincere, okay, it's taken from a Roman art culture. And they would make these pieces of art out of this hard rock material. And they would work like 100 hours to get a piece perfect, like the thing Michelangelo did. But this was like back in Jesus' day. Now think about this. And so they would get to a place where they might make a mistake. They would chip the nose off. And they'd take the piece of that nose and they would crush it into powder. Then they would take hot wax and pour it into there. And they would put it on there, and you couldn't tell by looking at it that it was that it had a mistake. And so now the people who would purchase this art exchanged a lot of gold and silver for this artwork. And so they caught on that these artists were making mistakes. And so they put a hot box out in front. Let's just call it a flea market, because that's what it's very similar to, the people who bought it. So they would buy a piece of that art. But before they purchase it, they would put it in this heat box to over 700 degrees. And they would put it in there. And if nothing melted away, that meant it was a sincere piece of art. But if that nose melted away, that meant it was not sincere. And they wouldn't buy it. That's what God wants our faith to be, sincere. Because heat removes things. God didn't purchase us with gold. That they exchanged gold and silver for this artwork. But God didn't purchase us with gold and silver. He purchased us with the blood of Jesus. You see that? He wants your faith to be sincere. And the word sincere literally means in Latin, sin means no, sierra means wax. No wax. Did you catch that? That's what the word sincere means. No wax. He doesn't want any wax, anything mixed in with our faith. He wants it to be faith in Him and Him alone. Now, why am I telling you this? Listen, this woman came up to the altar in India, and that's what we're talking about. She came up to the altar, and she had us pray. I prayed for her, and then she said something. She said, Pastor, and she said, I will remain sincere forever.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.